All right, good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Live the Fuel show. So again, once again here, we bring on another skilled co-host for our listeners. And today, we're actually bringing on a guy from the West Coast. And actually, I just learned before we started the recording here today, he's originally from the East Coast. So this guy's got a brand online called AlignTherapy.com. And he has done a pretty good job actually building a nice brand around wellness, fitness. I mean, I'm actually really looking forward to having a discussion with this guy because I've just been doing a lot of discussions lately with chiropractors. We just had on the famous Jack Cruz. Apparently, he knows him as well. So we've got a lot of stuff here in common today. So without further ado, from Bend, Oregon, welcome Aaron Alexander to the show.
Thanks so much, Scott. Thanks for welcoming me.
Appreciate and for our listeners, we're actually doing a live recording on YouTube, so people will actually be able to see your very colorful backdrop. And is this at your house?
Yeah. This is, I have friends who are artists, and so figured why not go crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, as you're walking out, you have some, it looks like you have some vines overhead. You have a very nice.
A lot of plant life.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. And I'm barefoot standing in my garden right now as I'm doing this. And my Wi-Fi router, which would be way more on brand if I would do wireless and have the cables, but we have a router here. But yes, the router's inside the house and I'm out here standing in the garden, getting sunlight and trying to expose myself to the elements.
Well, and from what Jack and I just talked about, we're actually recording this the day that Jack's episode just aired. We were discussing things around grounding, being sure. More in touch with our Mother Earth, as well as embracing more natural sunlight and things of that nature. So, and you had mentioned before we started the show that you know him quite well as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know him. I know him from this world. So I've had him on my podcast a couple times, and we have a lot of mutual relationships, mutual friends, and so I know him. We're like kindred spirits in a lot of ways, and had him on the show a few times.
Now, the cool thing about Jack was I got connected really through him because of Kevin Cottrell from Fitfluential Radio, the other podcast. Have you done stuff with Kevin?
No, I haven't heard of that actually.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, it was funny because that's how Kevin's episode got blown up because Jack had actually shared that episode too. So clearly Jack was clearly following Kevin pretty well. Just there's been all this cross-functional relationships and that's how all this stuff really starts happening. So
the world's very incestuous.
Yeah. I mean, we think that, hey, you know, I'm in Pennsylvania, you're in Oregon, Jack's in Louisiana.
And I'm Kevin's in Los Angeles. Texas.
You're in LA.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. So I have a business in Oregon, and I've kind of like a little. I have like a house and a business and a life of sorts in Oregon. But I moved to LA for the winter because Oregon they've gotten like I don't know 10 million feet of snow this year, and I don't want to be in that.
So as a very very long time skier, you're rocking the snowbird lifestyle.
I did two winters out there. I also did maybe two winters in Boulder, Colorado, and so did like the Five Mountain Pass and the whole thing. But now I'm more into ocean and beach and being, you know, shirtless as often as possible. So
it is a nice one.
I prefer sun. Big fan of sun. Yeah,
sun is nice. I will say I lived in Colorado for a little while. You and I were catching up, and some of our listeners know that I used to be a wildland firefighter for a period of time. You also have friends that have done that, and got plenty of sun since I was based out of Arizona. We did a lot of fire responses on big wildfires in New Mexico and Arizona, so had no shortage of it there. And that's why I moved to Colorado. And I used to do a lot of climbing up in Boulder because I lived right in Golden.
Cool. So yeah, Boulder Canyon. I was up there pretty much every day. They're in Clear Creek.
Yep.
But Boulder Canyon was like 8 minutes from my house before we were able to climb. So that was like a big part of my identity for a while. And now I'm that part of my identity is kind of like moved on. Now I'm more just being on the beach a lot.
Well, so besides obviously loving climbing, we have something in common there, the skiing, the living in California versus Oregon transitions. Clearly, you also are a big fan of the outdoors life. You're standing on your property without shoes on, and we love the sun. So
freaking hippies.
But you are living in LA, so I don't know how hippie that is.
Santa Monica.
Okay, that's pretty nice.
So I'm on the beach.
I'm okay with that. I can hear the birds chirping in the background. So
yeah, no, this is I got a big old garden. I'm surrounded by kale and cabbage and all sorts of stuff here. So it's not like the standard stereotypical LA.
So for our listeners, let's get a little bit more caught up for their benefits. I already mentioned, obviously, you have the brand AlignTherapy.com. Mm. Let's catch them up on you, man. Like, why did you create this brand? I love the name. I'm a marketing guy, so it just clicked with me right away. But let's catch everybody up.
Yeah, so I've been doing manual therapy / movement coaching for the last 12 years. And so moving outside of working with one-on-one clients only, and you know, so I'd see 20, 25, 30 clients in a week and be like kind of gassed from that in a way. You know, so I'd much rather privately, if I'm seeing a client one-on-one, it'd be like a really big deal. You know, so when we're working,
like VIP.
When I'm working one-on-one.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, you know, like I really care about the direction this person's going, and I would regardless, but you know, if once I see more than maybe like 8 people or so in a week, to me, that's good for me to energetically really be present for that. Beyond that, that stemmed into teaching workshops around movement. So how to integrate aligned movement into all aspects of your life. So functional movement, you know, how to sit, stand, walk, chop carrots, get in and out of your car, you know, just starting to create language around what it means to do these things in a more effective fashion. And then from there, amplifying the megaphone to a higher degree, going into the podcasting world, and again, just being able to have greater reach, being able to, because the message, if you have a message that is legit and it's helpful to the people that are in your office or the people that are in your workshop course thing, then it's probably worthy of, you know, a lot more people listening to that as well. And I think it's a disservice of sorts to not project that message if you have value to offer. Yeah, you know, so
with the podcast, and just because I'm a newer podcaster, this show just launched back in September, and I'm rocking 2 episodes a week. What's your frequency?
I do every Monday morning.
Okay, so I'm doing. I release Monday mornings and Friday mornings. So,
cool.
But maybe you could speak to that real quick. The power of podcasting, people don't realize this. It is a long game. It's not a short game. Okay. Yeah. Unless you just already have an amazing following, then yeah, you're going to blow downloads up very, very quickly. But how long have you had your podcast online?
2 years.
Okay. So where are you at? Not the data really matters, but where are you at today? Like, do you have any idea where your downloads are at compared to 2 years ago?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I'm approaching around 100,000 monthly.
Nice.
So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a long evolution of that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, let's rewind back 2 years ago. Where were you at in the first 6 months? Do you even have any idea? It was not 100,000.
Yeah. I mean, I could look at it, but pretty low. I started off. The big thing was appearing on other shows, and then also like I consistently teach, and so upon teaching, people want to continue engaging. And so it's been a slow, gradual growing process. But yeah, I mean, started off with nothing, a couple hundred. I don't know. Very small.
Yeah. I mean, so, and this is what we're talking about right now, is that if you've got a very good message and you've been building a decent following physically in person, then I almost feel like we owe it to other people out there saying, listen, more people need to learn about this stuff, especially functional movement. I'm a big supporter of very regular work on massage work, chiropractic care, movement specialist, movement therapy. I coach CrossFit in my free time every Friday because I found CrossFit thanks to firefighting. Like, I had no clue. I showed up out there and they're like, okay, we're doing 2 WODs a day. I'm like, what's a WOD? Besides, okay, it's a workout of the day. Got that. And then got my butt handed to me. But luckily, prior to that, I had studied martial arts when I was a kid. I'd already learned the power of, I was so much more mobile, pliable. I actually call it the Gumby effect. I was very Gumby compared to most of my other colleagues. And I also basically was never injured thanks to that. So back to functional movement. And that's why I'm a big follower in this, because I can't tell you how many people say, oh, well, and I'm sure you've heard this, well, my doctor said that I'm getting too old and I really shouldn't be squatting, bending over. And I'm like, well, what do you think you do when you get into your car and get out of your car? You are squatting. Isn't this one of the most natural movements that we should be continuously doing throughout our lives?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the hip hinge, you know? And so that's a big thing that, you know, you could, a good friend of mine, Eric Goodman, has a thing called foundation training. You might be familiar with that. And, you know, his like whole thing with that is the hip hinge, you know, and starting to create overhead flexion and just starting to activate the posterior side of your body in general, with the shoulder girdle, all the things, you know, and that's something that culturally speaking, and Eric's, you know, I just point him out because I love Eric, and you know, there's a lot of people that are doing similar practices, you know, yoga, Pilates, most forms, but a lot of martial arts, a lot of dance forms, to find real balance or poise in almost any movement practice, mm-hmm. you're gonna start knocking on all these same doors, you know, and so it's different languages saying, you know, the same thing in different words, essentially. But just for starters, people can start playing with that hip hinge, you know, so as you come down into a squat position, leaning your body over, making sure that your knees aren't going too far in front of your toes, making sure that they're not collapsing inward, that valgus deformity dropping through, which is going to deflate your arches and your feet, put you into that pronated position, the duck walk position, you know, so little subtle cues can start to really change the structure of the whole entire body, you know, so figuring out, cultivating that hip hinge is something that's like, I just said it because you mentioned like getting in and out of the car, which is, I've created courses around how to actually do this, you know, but the big thing is developing your ability to hinge, really lead with your butt, essentially.
Well, that's interesting. So you literally have created courses around getting in and out of a car. Now to me, at first you're like, really? People don't know how to get in and out of the car. But I think this is actually an important topic. A lot of people do not get in and out of their vehicles properly, depending on how low or high that vehicle sits. Usually people cheat. They say, you know what? I'm getting older. I should get an SUV because it sits higher and it's easier for me to get in and out of.
But, sure.
Okay. That's one way to look at it. But for people who own cars, for example, who are getting down and they're twisting their bodies, like there is some legitimacy behind this. Like, how long ago did you create your first course just for something like that?
Well, so I'm actually just finished the videoing. It's an editing process of creating something that's way more fantastic. And that's going to be the full, you know, how to align your life, essentially. So breaking down how to chop carrots, how to get in and out of your car, how to sit, stand, walk, like just starting to create language for people around, like, what is the most effective way to inhabit my body? You know, and so that course will actually be released probably mid to late next month. Right now I have some ebook video guides and such on there, but the actual course that specifically is breaking that down, that's coming next month.
So now, did that course come from just feedback from your, obviously your podcast followers, but also probably your live events, or was this something that you've always wanted to work on and you just decided, hey man, I need to get this into a video format?
It's seeing the void, you know, and so upon walking around the world, you know, if you do enough self-study or, you know, whatever, which study, reading the books and working with clients and kind of seeing that on a daily basis, you start to see patterns that repeat themselves, you know? And so what I've witnessed in working with clients and you know, workshops and all the things is I see that we're working effectively for the hour and a half or whatever that I'm individually with the person. But then past that, it's like, you know, what about the other 98% of the week? You know, and so starting to fill in some of these gaps so that a person has that autonomy and education on how to functionally move throughout every aspect of their lives. You know, it's recognizing that 100% of the time you are learning, you are educating your nervous system on how to develop that tissue. You know, you have the fibroblasts and the fibroclasts and the tissues, you know, the cells that are eating the tissue and building the tissue. And they're doing that based upon the information that you provide it, right? You know, so if you start to change the way that you hip hinge, you start to change the relationship, the way that your feet contact the ground, you know, your feet, another friend, Esther Gokhale, calls it the kidney bean shaped feet, you know, so you start to have this really nice arch support in the feet, then we start to really change the actual architecture around the body. But it's a slow, gradual process, much like building a podcast. You know, it's that consistency that actually makes the difference. So if you consistently start getting in your car a little bit differently, chopping your carrots differently, picking up your child off the floor a little bit differently, in 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, you'll see a huge difference. You know, but people oftentimes for the longest time kind of been like hoodwinked into believing like the pharmaceutical drug, you know, direction is the way to go, or that the fast, rapid adjustment or where it may be. I care more about the long game, I guess.
Well, and I think that's part of the issue that we have these days, especially here in our country, in the US of A, is that we want everything now, and nobody has the patience. They think that everything can be quickly fixed. And what you just said, this applies to business, applies to health, applies to lifestyle. Yeah. I have people that I nutritionally coach too on lifestyle changes and everything else. I tell them, like, guys, this isn't a 30-day wham, bam, thank you, ma'am solution. Like, the first 30 days are definitely crucial to help start kickstarting that process. But first of all, people who are looking for any kind of body transformation, I tell people, you should be really setting a goal of like at least 16 weeks. Like, you need to stay committed and really reprogram the body in like 3 to 4 months. Like, you have to start getting these people around this realistic mindset that, yes, a lot can happen in 30 days, depending on how committed and what kind of changes you're making. But to your point, it takes time to reprogram.
Sure.
And I like using that word because I used to work in the tech world too. And I love merging that in, because there's so many people out there that don't realize that this is a long game. It's not a short game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just creating habits is the big thing, you know? And so, I was talking with a friend this morning, where they're actually doing another interview thing on her thing, and talking about, I've had this really interesting history the last like 10 years or so, where I've done a lot of traveling. And so I've spent several winters cruising around, you know, backpacking, have my skateboard, you know, whatever, and everything from hitchhiking to motorcycling to all sorts of random different means of transportation, and getting to see the way that various different people live in their homes, you know, so staying with, you know, random Muslim fella in Morocco and like staying in his back room, and it's just like hanging out in these really random places, you know, and getting to go through the prayers and like all the things, and just like seeing from my perspective, I've been able to kind of like, you know, create this amalgamation of what works, you know, what different lifestyles, everybody's doing something that's working, you know, and some people more than others, you know, but if we can kind of pull from the best practices from various different worlds, be it CrossFit or be it, whatever it may be, CrossFit or martial arts or yoga or whatever, they all have something valuable to offer. You know, if we can pull from all that and start instilling those practices into our daily movement, then eventually it just becomes who you are, right? Sure. You know, but too often times I think we get wrapped up in like, you know, again, that the quick fix thing. And then we're kind of like, all right, the results, here they are. You know, so we got to figure out a way to make it be fun, you know? And I think the way that we make it fun is to create confidence around something. You know, when we don't really understand something, it's kind of like you just got your fingers crossed and you're like, okay, I think maybe I hope so. It's like every time I take krill oil, you know, I take krill oil every day. I'm just like,
sure.
I don't know. We'll see if it goes, you know, but when you start to immediately give people more power out of their squat,
right.
You know, when you start to lean over and pick something up off the ground, and that back pain or that radiating sciatic nerve thing that goes down your leg every time you do it isn't there, you know, all of a sudden we get this like, oh, wow, that's cool. All right. I'm going to start to change. I'm going to consistently do that. And then give it, you know, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. Eventually it just becomes your baseline. It becomes who you are, you know? So that's what I'm asking from people, is to subtly, through planting these seeds, start to change the foundation of how they operate in the world. You know, as opposed to, again, like the, you know, like the whatever, just I do foam rolling every, you know, once a night or something like that. But, you know, I want to change the foundation of how we move through the world.
Don't get me going on foam rolling. Don't get me wrong. Foam rolling is important. but especially in the CrossFit world, so many of our athletes are like, they come in and they think, oh, well, as long as I foam roll before the workout and after the workout, my mobility work is done. And I'm like, no, that's like just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. Foam rolling can desensitize tissue as well. Yes. So if you're doing something like that before a workout, I'm not dogmatic with almost any type of like movement belief or any belief for that matter. You know, so I think there is a time and place for everything, but sure. If you're going into more like accessing more parasympathetic nervous system and kind of like coming down to slow, deep work like that with something like foam rolling before you go and do some lifting, whatever it may be, where you might want to be a little bit more sympathetic and kind of revved up, it might just be not the not the wisest sequencing, you know, recipe of your movement practice.
Oh, I can speak to that because, again, before I did firefighting, I was never really into running. I was a huge cyclist, and I've always been a huge cyclist, mountain biking, road cycling, 100-plus mile events, all that. Went and did a marathon, jacked my IT band up, started learning. That's one of those things, one of those life-changing moments right there where all of a sudden, like, you get a clue and you realize there's something more to your fitness than just doing the actual exercise. And yeah. That's when I started learning more about mobility and reminding myself what I learned as a kid from the martial arts and proper stretching. For example, to this day, I will not do what I call cold stretching. I will at least go for a light jog or hop on a rowing machine or something to get the blood pumping. Yeah. And get everything warmed up before you start stretching or rolling or doing anything, because doing that to cold static tissue, that's just, in my experience, again, I'm not a professional, but that's my experience. I would not do that. So
yeah. Another thing to tinker with is the food that you put in your body before lifting. You know, sometimes I think a lot of people are overladen with digestion. You know, so there's, you know, back when I was doing personal training, it was like one of the things that I was recommending to all my clients was to make sure that your metabolic fire was always running, you know, so you want to have like 7 to freaking as many little mini meals as you want throughout the day, yeah, as opposed to like the 3 round meals, you know, or whatever, 3 square meals rather. I like round better, actually, you know, and so now that's something that I've been talking to a lot of pretty smart folks about their opinions on it. And there's a lot of guys doing amazing things that are eating 1-2 meals a day. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I find as well. It's kind of going into an exercise, you know, or lifting or movement practice, whatever it is, a little bit lighter, and maybe kind of sending some of like the deeper parts of your physiology, sending a little bit of a stimulus that like you need to perform right now to get the food.
Yes.
You know, I think that there's some deep physiology there that if I just ate an elephant, why would I climb a tree? Like, I'm good.
Yeah. It's like, it's funny because that's what I think back in, the end of 2010, when I finished that first year of firefighting, that's when I had stumbled across like what it takes to actually help boost your body's natural ability to detox through cleansing and fasting and things of that nature. And I had no experience with that prior. And now, you know, years later, since 2010, I still do it. I go through no more than 48 hours of fasting at least 4 or 5 times a year. But then I've also been incorporating in more, you know, ketogenic style research and practices. And I'll do, you know, you wake up in the morning and I'll have maybe just a nice, I call it a fatty shake, but it's all vegetables and healthy fats. Good. I don't need a full-blown meal. And that I just do that at a very light level to allow that intermittent kind of fasted state. And I'm good. I can go work out. I can come back. I'm good till at least lunch. And I haven't had a full meal, so to speak, or one of those 7 mini meals or whatever people like to go with these days. So yeah. I think an important thing that I'd love to hear your feedback on is we all need to be open to everything. And do not question it, or I should say turn it down, until you've at least experimented or tried it. And that's where a lot of us are, just we have these walls up. And I think even people like you and myself, who are the crazy health nut people who have developed our own practices, and then I hear something new all the time and I'm like, well, hold on, Scott, like, don't prejudge it. We don't know yet. Do some of the research and maybe even test it yourself until you can actually have your own opinion on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was something else people could potentially tinker with is starting to introduce, if you're not already stressed out in your life, if you have kind of like the free space, you know, cognitively, emotionally, with your work schedule, with just, if you feel resourced, you know, some of these like West Coast words, you know, if you do feel resourced in that way, I think introducing some fasting, it might be a good way to start to really like clean your plate for mm-hmm. a second and really get to witness. And then you slowly start putting food back into the system. But, you know, it's like recently I got some rain on my computer, and because I was out here doing this. And then since that, my like mouse has been a little bit goofy. Mm-hmm. I've been having to like reboot the computer. Luckily I have like full coverage insurance. I'm probably just going to take the computer back. But, you know, but with that, every time I reboot the computer, all of a sudden my mouse, it works again. Woo. You know, it's a similar concept in your physical body.
Yeah.
You know, when you give yourself that space to step away from your habituality, you know, your habitual practices, and they say something like, you know, 40% of our choices in our day is just habitual acts. You know, how many people do you know that their drive to work, you know, or whatever, maybe, you know, drive, I was gonna say bike to work, but probably more the drive, you know, the drive to work, it's like your car just takes you there. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have, there's nothing new. There's nothing kind of like vital about that experience. I just go in, put the key in and arrive. And then I'm a drone for the next 8 hours. Then I get back, you know, and it's just like.
And yeah. People are doing that to their bodies. That's the best part. We expect that we wake up in the morning and I just do what I normally do and I'm fine, and expect that to be that way the rest of your life. And it's like, well, no, I mean, have you ever tried fasting? No. Well, I could tell you. That was the only thing that brought my energy back after the first year of firefighting. When I took that, I did a first 30-day period. And granted, I worked with a company that I actually still work with to this day. And it's not necessarily for everybody, but if you've ever heard of a company called Isogenics, there's a lot of companies out there that do different forms and techniques. I'm just bringing that up as an example, but sure. They were the ones who turned me onto it because it was a fully nutritionally supported system. I was worried about losing any kind of nutrient density, wanted to maintain my lean muscle mass. All of that. And so that at least opened me up to it. And I've been hooked on it ever since, because I can go through, even if it's only a one day or 2 day fasting period, supported fasting period. And when I come back and go to the gym, energy is just through the roof. Very often I'm hitting a new PR, personal record on my lifts. And people are like, how is that possible? You haven't eaten in like a day or two. And I'm like, guys, like, what you don't realize is that our bodies in common day today, especially here in the U.S., depending on where, especially where you live, places like New York City, metropolitan areas, your body is beat up from the air pollution, water pollution, the toxic foods, everything that's around us, possibly depending on the person, poor sleeping habits, lack of sunlight like you right now. So
it's huge.
Back to Jack Cruz, that whole mitochondrial health and what are we allowing into our eyes? Like, he's very anti-sunglasses. People don't understand that
unless it's nighttime.
Sun. Yeah.
So he's anti-sunglasses until night comes along.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm, you know, I sell blue blocker and glasses on my website and all that stuff because I wear them every night. You know, if I'm around an environment, which is most environments, like even walking around the streets here in Santa Monica, like you don't realize it until you do go into, you start paying attention to the blue light thing, and every street light, you know, every car passing by, you know, when you go out into those environments, it's like when a deer is walking across the street and you blind it with the lights, the deer in the headlight thing, that's people, right? That's us, that's you and me, right? And so by guarding, you know, Rob Wolf I got this from him. He says he protects his sleep at gunpoint, you know, so he's like, you know, it's like that's one of his like main factors of like, yeah, like I do not let my sleep get rattled. And sometimes, again, I think like the fasting concept, sometimes it's good to have a rave until sunrise, you know, and really go into a totally different place, you know. But in general, every night, it's like that's the time that your body goes into, you know, an anabolic state where it starts building, you know, or as we're exercising, that's catabolic, we're breaking ourselves down, mm-hmm. right? You know, hermetic stressors, right? So the daytime, we're charging and we're going and we're breaking the muscles down. We're, you know, really taxing the system. We're pouring the cup. Culturally, we're all about the pouring the cup. How do I pour more? We don't really have the conversation on how the heck do I fill my cup back up? Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's just one factor is starting to look around at the tone of the lights in your life. I know after like 8 o'clock, you want to kind of tone it down to orange, Ken.
Well, and the best part is, you and I, what we're talking about right now, a lot of people that may listen to this may think that we're part of that crazy quack crowd, like, oh, because we're very new agey. But admittedly, like, I come from a technology background and I study things from science. Like, I studied microelectronics technology when I was in high school. And I mean, so the fact that I'm as wellness and health focused now just comes down to that life shift and me just opening my eyes and ears and wanting to learn more. And most importantly, I'll tie this back to technology right now. If what you and I are talking about is so crazy, then why, for example, Apple, one of the biggest companies out there right now, one of the biggest contributors over the years to blue light from the iPads and the iPhones and everything else, why did they release a brightness adaption setting now on their last software or one or two software updates ago that allows you to switch it from blue light to warm light? I granted it's not as good as wearing a proper pair of glasses or doing a more legitimate physical blue light filter per jack. He says it's not good enough, but that's still a step in the right direction. So again, if it's so bad, why is Apple including it in on its software updates?
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, all you got to do is look at the people that are winning. You know, like it's most anybody that I know, when I look at someone's health, I'm looking at the structure and organization around their joints. I'm looking at the skin quality. I'm looking at, you know, the elasticity in their tissue. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at how much they smile. I'm looking at eye contact, you know, how they relate to people in a social environment. All that is health, right? And so the people that I personally witness in the bubble that I live in, the people that are really, you know, they seem to be the most vital. Mm-hmm. They're doing this stuff, you know, and maybe it's just a trend. Maybe it's just, you know, it's just a, like a fad of sorts, but I really don't think it is. You know, I think when you hear people like Joe Rogan, you hear Laird Hamilton, you hear all these guys, this is what they're talking about, yeah. You know, like the highest performers in the world, this is the direction they're going. And there's like the story of the disc brakes for cars came from, I think, Formula One cars or NASCARs or, you know, like high performance race cars. Right. You know, so we're cruising around our drum brakes and we're like, you're stopping like crap. And you know, it's like, oh, what's like, what are the really fast cars doing? You know, like, oh, right. Yeah. Maybe I could put that in my like normal life and it might make my normal life a little bit more exceptional.
Well, and let's connect this to my passion of cycling. Now, a few years back, there was road cycling world and there was like the mountain biking world. And then in the mountain biking world, they decided, well, let's take a road bike, which is lighter, and let's put like just a little bit wider tire with some knobbiness on it. And let's create a sport called cyclocross. Sure. And then while we're at it, because you're usually going to be cyclocrossing through mud and dirt and everything else in on a road bike, but on like a mountain bike style dirt course, well, those rim brakes that grab the sides of the wheel, the old school design, aren't going to cut it anymore. And disc brakes were already getting moved on to mountain bikes. So they incorporated disc brakes now in the past few years on cyclocross bikes. Now, all of a sudden, they're enhancing that and now considering it for the traditional road bike world, which has never been seen like forever. Road cycling going back to the old European times, who pretty much led the way on road cycling, always had rim brakes grabbing the side of the wheel to slow it down. So just like you're talking about, is that even after all these years, they're still constantly overhauling and trying to look for the latest and greatest thing to kind of hack it and figure it out. So
do you pay attention to your posture much with the bike?
Oh God, yeah. Yeah. Well, I also, I can actually thank a program called Johnny G, because years ago I got certified by Johnny G for spinning instruction and I taught for 6 years. So learning how to properly ergonomically set people up on the bike for proper posture, proper core, proper breathing techniques. That's where I learned diaphragmatic breathing from. And I still use those lessons to this day when I teach CrossFit, because I breathe better than most of our athletes and my fellow coaches. I've always been a cyclist. And yeah. I was one of those rare spinning instructors that was an actual cyclist, because no offense to other spinning instructors, but it's very rare to go to a spinning class and have a spinning instructor who actually rides a bike. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's very, very few and far between, it seems.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I actually go outdoors and ride my bike.
Right. Yeah, I find biking kind of interesting because it exacerbates a lot of the same patterns that most any physical therapist or osteo or whatever guy is or girl is working so diligently to pull apart, you know, to take off of people's body, being that forward head posture,
oh, yeah.
You know, upper
shoulders,
cross syndrome.
Shoulders forward, the neck. You are correct. I mean, even with proper setup, I still have to work on my mobility, do the proper exercising. I have masseuses focus on that area. When it's spring and summer and I'm on my peak riding series, I know that I am, especially on a road bike, you're in that hunched forward type position. Even with properly set up, you still got to counteract that setup, because I noticed that my pectorals have become tighter and my back is rounding. You are correct. In the cycling world, it's not always leaving you in a great place. I don't know how to say it that way. Again, conditioning wise, breathing, endurance, wonderful. Chest and back positioning, I'm constantly doing muscle work and tissue work to counteract the effects of being on a bike for I do these big century 100-mile charity rides, for example. Yeah, I'm going to be doing a lot of mobility after that.
Yeah, it ends up exacerbating oftentimes a lot of quad dominance and a lot of like shortened hip flexion and just all those same patterns, which from a physiological perspective, the way that affects your endocrine system, there's like the Harvard study that I mentioned quite a bit on my podcast, but you know, the Harvard study where they took two different groups of people. They had one group of people do like the hands up overhead winning position. And then they had the other group kind of do like essentially like the biking position, you know, like hunched over or like cell phone staring position. and you can bike well, but you just got to make sure that you're taking that off when you're done is the way that I describe it. You know, when you're putting on your bike outfit, you know, like your metaphoric bike outfit of that position, mm-hmm. you got to make sure that you're reversing that when you get done. But what you see happen with your physiology, if you are stuck in that position in that study, it was just 2 minutes at a time, actually, by being folded over, you end up increasing cortisol and stress hormones, mm-hmm. right? And you end up decreasing your testosterone. And so what that actually says is our bodies have been integrating these patterns for millennia to mean when I go into that hunched over, forward head, upper cross, medial rotate, like all the anatomical term position, that means that I need to either fight, defend myself, or I've already lost, right? And so when we're practicing that position, it's actually, you know, like NLP talk, it's changing our state to a state of depression. Depression's becoming the number one, soon to be the number one leading cause of disability, I believe, in the world. Right. And so we're thinking it's all this different stuff. Oh, we're eating too much sugar. Yeah, we are.
We are.
You know, we're exposed to too much. It's a lot of factors.
There is a lot of variables. Yeah.
The postural factor is something that I haven't really heard anyone really dig into. You know, that's what I'm digging into.
But that Harvard study did?
That was an example, you know, but there's a lot of studies that are kind of proving the same point.
Now, have you had anybody on your show to discuss that more in depth? Because we run very detailed show notes, and I'd be happy to link that in your episode show notes from today to help people find that data, because I know I personally would geek out on that and want to read up on it. So, or listen.
Well, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the stuff is things that's, the just recent episode that I released with Ben Greenfield. I don't know if you're familiar with Ben.
I have heard that name. Why do I know that name?
I don't know. He's like big in the world of all this stuff. And he's in like obstacle racing and ancestral
OCR. Yeah. I've done a lot of OCR as well. Obstacle course racing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 But anyway, so the last episode that I just released today, this morning actually, was a big part of it was the effect of dance and art and like cursive handwriting on your creativity, for example. You know, so by connecting your hand with the pen, as opposed to just always in that same hunched over text position, right? By connecting and having a little bit more proprioception, a little bit more physical, tangible contact with the paper, that actually ends up reorganizing reorganizing your cerebral cortex, you know, and actually connecting some of that proprioception with cognitive function, right? So if you can start to move more articulately, you start to be able to think a little bit more articulately as well. It's one integrated unit, right? So that the neofrontal cortex is kind of like bootstrapped on to the movement brain, you know, the reptile brain.
And I can totally back you up on this for our listeners. I mean, and again, guys, just as a reminder, as you're listening to this, it'll be linked in the show notes, but definitely check out aligntherapy.com where he has the Align podcast linked, because he is speaking to right now is something that I've actually researched as well. You are absolutely correct. There is proven studies on blatant memorization, for example, where when I went back to college on nights and weekends a few years back before the firefighting adventure, I found myself that I didn't have to study. If I went back and just rewrote my notes, and I'm in my, I think I was 30, 29, 30 when I did that. So I'm at a different learning style than I was when I was, you know, 17, 18, 19, when I first went to college. So it's like, okay, you're older, you learn differently. And I had to hack that because I couldn't use the old learning styles. And one of the best things that worked for me was just literally going back. If I rewrote my notes, boom, I'd ace that exam. It was crazy. And I wasn't retyping. Retyping didn't work. I couldn't retype. It had to be handwritten. It was there's a lot of studies I've now read since on that whole, if you handwrite something, the cognitive connection on that is pretty powerful.
Dance as well is a big one for creativity. You know, so there was another study that I was reading recently where it is, I believe it was 75% more effective, older folks, senior citizens, dance was 75% more effective than doing crossword puzzles and reading with reversing Alzheimer's or preventing.
Wow.
Right. And so it's starting to recognize that you're not just a brain, you know, depending on what culture you're at. And you say, like, you know, Scott, like, where are you? Who are you? Right. Where's Scott?
Right.
Right. You know, it's like some people maybe in more like Western culture might be like, Scott's right here, right between the temples. Right. You know, maybe another culture might say, no, Scott's like in his heart. You know, another culture might say, like, Scott's like, I think he's more of like belly. That's where Scott's at.
Like, somebody asked me that a few years back when I was still in Colorado, and I could still answer this. I'm like, Scott's on the side of a mountain right now, wishing he was climbing a nice, 5'10" or something.
Yeah, right, sure, that too. You know, but so starting to integrate, you know, who am I? Where am I? I'm my foot. I'm my knee. I'm my glutes. I'm my liver. I'm my throat. I'm all of it. You know, and so if I allow my feet to start to hang back, you know, and I have that pronation and then I have the valgus knee and I got the disengaged glutes and I, you know, my organs, I don't even know what the heck's going on there. It just feels like a sack of potatoes in there. You know, that starts to disassociate you from who you are, you know, and the way that you express yourself in the world. This might be, I don't know what your listeners are like. This might be kind of going to like off the deep end, but it's worth looking into.
Oh, no, I mean, I love pushing the envelope as this show grows, because yes, we can discuss common discussed items, but we do need to be bringing in these other topics that maybe aren't being discussed enough. I mean, yeah, and you've had some great guys on your shows too, and ladies. Like, for example, a common co-host of mine, he just came on the other night. He hasn't aired this next episode yet, is the man Vinny Tortorich. So you had him on your show as well. Freaking love Vinny, by the way. He's hilarious.
Yeah. We actually just got back from his house. I was over at his place last week or so, and got to do that. That's what we like traded off. I was ended up being on his podcast and did like the whole thing. He's a sweet guy, man.
Well, we were literally talking about this, I think it was two nights ago, because I don't have the advantage of swinging by the house. And actually, I have Andy Schreiber coming on tomorrow night again. He's already been on the show because we're discussing their vitamin company. And Vinny was on discussing the NSNG lifestyle and everything we're talking about, you and I right now, about the whole, you brought up sugar earlier and how, yes, healthy fats need to be swapped with your high sugar consumption lifestyle, if not cut back out. I live a lot of that NSNG life. I have a lot of healthy fats incorporated into my lifestyle as well. So, but there's also a little other things that I'm doing. You talk about functional movement. For example, switching over to a standing desk. This whole time, all my podcasts happen either at a standing desk, or if I'm actually meeting with somebody locally, I have a portable kit and I will go out to a Starbucks and that's one of the few times I'll actually sit down and do an interview. Unless we're actually able to stand outside in the nice weather, then I'll go outside and record outside with the microphones, because to your point, being outside, standing, not sitting closed down, kind of hunched over with your technology, it's truly, there's a lot of truth to this. There's a lot of impact. I find myself standing here at my desk talking to you or just working on my computer, I am much more productive. I'm much more dialed in. Even before I had a standing desk, I never had an office chair. I always had one of those Swiss exercise balls. So I would sit on that and bounce up and down because it was just fun. I was just bouncing around, and my girlfriend would walk by and she's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm having fun while I work. Why sit in a boring office chair? I don't know."
And then from there, going deeper into that, looking at the quality of the movement as you're sitting on the bounce chair, or as you are standing, or as you, they say like sitting is the new smoking. I think that's completely incorrect. I think that it's the quality of the sit. If you're sitting in a lotus position, you know, and you're stacking your spine and you're working on your breath and you're opening up your hips and you're, you know, decompressing your joints, like that's dramatically different than you sitting on your ass in a sofa.
That's a very functional sit. So
and so starting to look at that. So it's the same thing with standing. Just because you're standing, if you're standing in a position that's the same thing, exacerbating all those broken patterns throughout your system, you're just creating, you know, you mentioned like the firefight, you're creating little fires throughout your body. You know, and so our ability to extinguish these fires and then hopefully get to the point where we extinguish like the, you know, the pyros that are starting the fire, the fire is the grander pattern,
sure,
right? The individual fires are those individual, every individual joint you know, that feels kind of clunky and, you know, a little bit red or a little bit warmer, or a little bit, you know, inflamed. It's because we're in these less than functional positions. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you can, so from a standing position, start off and figure out, do some research. You know, like I got all the videos. There's another guy, Kelly Starr, who's really great, Mobility Wad. He's right. He's got great videos.
Oh, I totally, you know, yeah. We definitely discussed Mobility Wad. They've really done a great job building that connection to the CrossFit mm-hmm. community. I love it when I see gyms now. They will actually run people through an entire Mobility Wad sequence even before or after the regular workout. It's great to see that mobility incorporated in.
Yeah. I just started working at the CrossFit LA. So there's a guy, Kenny Kane, and I don't know, he's like one of like the oldest CrossFits. I think it's the oldest CrossFit in LA, and they're all associated in the whole San Francisco CrossFit and all that. And that was one of the elements that they're really excited to start implementing, which is like where I come in, you know, starting to implement more therapeutic aspects to the work CrossFit, you know.
It's funny you bring that up because the gym I'm coaching at now, we originally one big gym a couple of years ago. There was four owners and they split. So we're about three or four blocks apart now. So we have two CrossFit gyms in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. But the cool thing was we were good friends with a colleague, you want to call him the friend of ours, and his brand was called the Mobility Doc. So he's got a good online presence now. But his main office, he opened it. He moved it into the front of our new facility at CrossFit Adoration. So when you walk in, he has his therapy center up front. So he's a chiropractic doctor. His wife is a doctor of PT, physical therapy. But then he ended up, because he loves fitness so much and lifting so much, he moved beyond. He was never really hardcore into CrossFit. He actually started building his brand around supporting the CrossFit community. He used to bounce around to all the different CrossFit gyms like a different day of the week and give them dedicated therapy sessions, education sessions on mobility. And now he just runs everything out of our site. But the cool thing was he loves it so much that he ended up getting a USAW Olympic lifting certification, ended up launching his own barbell club. So the crazy thing is like there's a CrossFit gym there, there's a barbell club, and then there's this whole therapy center as well, because they all go together. I mean, a lot of people think about, oh, I need to work with him once I have an injury. And his biggest educational point is, no, dude, like you need to be focusing on your mobility and what the condition of your tissue is and your posture and everything throughout the process. You don't wait till you have a problem because to your point, that's when you have a massive wildfire in your body.
Right.
And the response in your body to fire is usually inflammation, which is tied to disease, discomfort, or like you said, you have a painful knee, whatever it may be. Like that's usually it's tied to inflammation. There's something going on inside the body. It's not in alignment. Something's out of whack. And you got to find that, to your point, the pyro. I like that little point.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to run here in the next few minutes.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But with what you're saying, it's like I've been doing some CrossFit since working at the gym there. And so I do a lot of random stuff. I do a lot of dance and I do like contact improvisation. It's just a style of dance. I do acro yoga. I do acrobat, you know, partner hand balancing and stuff like that. You know, and some of the things that I derive from those practices is I get more suppleness in my tissue, right? Mm-hmm. So flexibility is something that if you're always beating yourself with, you know, thrusters and, you know, various different movements where you're like really, really just all about building the engine up, go, go, go. You then give you that space sometimes to actually come back in and work more like, from like yoga terms, it'd be more like yin practice, like yin yang, right? You know, and so something for people to potentially think about is just starting to maintain the yang stuff, you know, maintain, you know, the deadlifts and the squats and the sprints and like climbing the ladder, you know, whatever you do. But as much energy as you put into that, I couldn't recommend more, you know, starting to have a really good breath practice along with that, starting to have a really good mobility practice, starting to really pay attention to your sleep, you know, and really create a ceremony around your sleep is something that's really crucially important, you know, so that you can start to create, again, more like NLP terms, like anchors around your sleep. You know, so every night I have a little lavender spray stuff that I'm saying, okay, I'm activating a olfactory anchor, a smell, right? And then every night I put my glasses on, right? I'm like, oh, okay, every time I wear glasses, that means Aaron goes to bed. You know, every night
I have a new program.
Yeah. you know, and so you're giving your nervous system some type of grounded anchor points to be able to grab onto and say, you know, so we've been doing this for, again, you know, forever, as far as like war songs and such. You hear that song, boom, 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 boom. It's like, oh, right, that's, I go red. You know, it's time to kill.
Okay.
Right. It's like, okay, well, let's go the other direction and let's go, you know, blue and go to sleep. You know, so have your song, have your book, have whatever it is, but create anchors around the things that you want to be more effective at.
I love that. Well, I mean, and I know you got to leave here shortly here, so I want to give you a proper exit. But again, as a reminder of our listeners, guys, remember, there's a lot of knowledge out there, and he is dropping some serious knowledge bombs for you guys. We're going to have everything in the show notes. Again, I already said it before. Go check out AlignTherapy.com. Check out the Align Podcast. He's on Twitter. You can follow him at the Align Podcast on there as well. To your benefit, I'm going to send an email intro. Have you ever worked with a woman by the name of Christy Jo Hunt from Utah?
No.
She does exactly what you're talking about. She's a hardcore fitness girl and a coach. She's her brand's called Body Buddies, but she's big into dance. And like, she's doing stuff that I follow on Facebook that's like yoga and dance at a whole different level. And it totally ties back to what you're doing. And she has her own little podcast now as well. I think cool. You two would totally, it'd be great to cross-functional, you know, help you guys connect on that and support that better with what you're doing. So, but to your benefit, at the end of all of our shows, you are the co-host. So I want to give our co-host that final chance to leave a final little word or message to the listeners, because it's really you and what your brand is doing. And there's so many things people can take away from this episode, but is there something that could sum up, you know, your message or what you're trying to do? What is behind Align? What is behind what Aaron is trying to give back to the world? This is your chance to kind of leave the closing message. And then, you know, I'll stop recording and I'll say goodbye to you properly once we're done.
Yeah, sure. So the upcoming course that I'll have coming up, you know, the whole intention of that is aligning your life, right? You know, and so figuring out how can we start to make life be kind of like a game. You know, as I'm standing here, I've been working on some squats. I've been kind of wringing my spine out and doing some like Kundalini stuff. I've been standing up on a brick. Sometimes I bring my other foot up on the table here. You know, like we can start stacking variables in our favor. Right. You don't need to just be like, OK, I'm at work. So now I martyr myself for work for 8 hours because I got to pay the bills. It's like, be at work, you know, and, you know, add some colors to the wall. Be at work, add some fun music, you know, be at work and move really effectively in a way that you're actually moving therapeutically for your knees and your plantar fascia and your pelvic floor and your organs, you know. Start to stack these variables so that every moment throughout the day, it becomes an opportunity. You know, if there's any like one message, you know, like the aligned message, whatever, would be every moment is an opportunity and to take advantage of it. You know, and the way that you do that is through educating yourself, right? And the way that you do that is doing what you're doing right now. So congratulations, you're already halfway there. Now it's just do it.
I love that. So, that's some powerful messaging. Thank you so much. So again, to our listeners, guys, that's Aaron Alexander. Okay, guys, remember, Align Therapy, Align Podcast. He's got his own YouTube channel. We're definitely going to link everything to this new course he's got coming out as well in the show notes. So again, thanks for listening in. And again, this is what we're all about, guys. We're here to fuel your health, your business, your lifestyle. Aaron definitely helped us do that today. So as I always say, keep living the fired up epic life. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.